Okay, so this week...
Hold on a second, I'm not ready yet.
Fire, heat, spice. Come on, man.
The spice.
The spice.
The spice.
The spice.
The spice.
Okay, so this week we are finally discussing Dune Part 2. The sequel to Denis Villeneuve. Fuck you. Okay, so this week we are not doing an Oscar film, although it probably will be, but our Oscar series is over. We are moving on to one of the most anticipated films of 2024. Of course, I'm talking about Dune Part 2, the sequel to Dune. This is a film adapted from the novel, also called Dune. It is very, very action-packed and just filled with story. The set pieces are amazing. All the performances I thought were phenomenal. We talk about politics and religion and becoming some sort of God King figure and taking a lot of drugs.
The spies.
In this film. And I'm really excited to discuss it with you, Hunter Callahan.
Yes.
First of your name.
Thank you, Zachariah Olson. First of your name. Yes, this is a highly anticipated film.
Yeah.
And we're a little late to the game, but for good reason. So we're very excited to finally dive into the sands of Arrakis once more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I have one question to ask you. And that question is simply, but is Dune Part 2 good?
We're going to figure the answer out to that. We're going to find out the answer to that question tonight.
Yes, we are.
And you will be here with us as we find out the answer to the question. But is Dune Part 2 good? That was the voice. I was speaking to them with the voice.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Even though it's not portrayed that way in the books or the movie, that was my interpretation.
I got you.
This is why they should get me on for Dune Messiah.
Dune Messiah. Denis.
Denis.
Denis, call him.
Give me a call, baby. And send headshots.
Okay, cool.
But is it good podcast? Yeah. Nothing much. How are you?
You come here often?
I can't air out my dirty laundry on live air of a podcast.
It's not live.
Welcome
to the podcast.
I am the butt, is it?
No, I was going to say something else. Just start over. You said welcome.
Okay.
Okay.
Cut.
No, I'm going to leave it in. It's fine.
Cut. You want to give another?
You can't even see yourself. What are you?
What do you mean? I'm looking at the camera.
I know, but you act like you're like checking your beard.
No, I'm just.
Oh, okay. Say.
You know how you do this? Sometimes I do this.
I don't just do that because it's the most efficient way to scratch your nose. Because
your nose itches? Maybe sometimes. My beard itches down here.
I guess I didn't consider that you might have a feeling about something.
All right, I'm going to walk us in.
Cool.
This is my interpretation or my performance of Heath Ledger's Joker walking into that meeting with the TV.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ha, 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 ha. Ho, he, ha, ha. And I thought my jokes were bad.
Yeah, you gotta get the tongue licking there.
Give me one reason why I shouldn't have my boy rip your head off.
How about a magic trick? I make this pencil
disappear. Give me your head.
Okay, cool.
Imagine if I was just like, wham! And then you were just passed out and I recorded the rest of the episode.
Ta-da!
It's gone.
That's good.
I want to hear proposition.
Yes. You think he points to him?
Let's not blow things out of proportion.
It's simple. We
kill
the Batman.
If it's so simple, why haven't you done it? If you're good at something,
never do it.
Never do it for free.
This is the wrong movie. Love this movie. Top 5 movie. Wrong movie.
Top 10 movie.
Top 5 movie.
Top 10. We can agree on top 10.
That's true.
Because that's how math works. Your top 5 is...
Anyway, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome.
I am your host, Hunter Callahan.
And I am your host, Zach Olson. And today, we see Gotham's true colors.
No. Arrakis.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Welcome to the But Is It Good podcast, where we talk about movies and we discuss whether they're good or not, among other things. This week we're doing Dune Part 2.
Yes.
No, I just had an itch.
No, I saw a bug.
Oh.
Dune Part 2, let's do it. So, how's life? Are you good? That's great. You saw this in IMAX?
I did. 70mm IMAX with the big boy speakers.
Was it at like 11:50 p.m. again?
Mm-mm, it was at 11 a.m.
Oh, nice.
This time.
Nice change of pace.
Packed out. It was awesome. It was very loud. It was very, very loud. Very bright. I was going to say something, but I figure I could save it until our first impression part.
That's true. We can just go ahead and jump in if you would prefer.
How was your life? Where did you see this?
How was my life? Did you say was or is?
Is.
Oh, it's good.
I'm experimenting with new hand things since we're using video format.
I like it. I like it.
This year.
It's good. I just got back from Birmingham, Alabama.
Wonderful city.
Had a good time. Had some great food, and I saw Dune 2.
Part 2.
I saw Dune Part 2, too.
Oh, I see what you were trying
to
do.
Amazing.
Let me ask you a quick question.
Yeah.
Birmingham or Chicago?
I mean, I'm going to probably vote Chicago.
Houston or Birmingham?
Birmingham.
Really?
I don't know. Birmingham has a bit more character.
Houston?
Houston's bigger and has more stuff.
Have you been to Dallas for work?
I haven't. I'm going in August.
I could have said Dallas-Fort Worth, but I said Dallas for work.
Yeah. You know what city in Texas I like the most, actually, is actually Austin. I love Austin.
Do you?
Austin's tight.
Cool.
Yeah. Birmingham is cool, though.
New York or Birmingham?
New York.
L.A. or Birmingham?
What part of L.A.?
As a whole. So, like, you know, the good and the bad. This is a question. I thought they were all going to be not Birmingham. I thought they were all going to be the city that was not Birmingham.
Well, L.A. doesn't... I don't love L.A. I like parts of L.A.
San Fran or Birmingham?
Oh, San Francisco.
Okay. Denver?
Denver.
Or New York?
New York.
Well, thanks for joining us this week.
Yeah, it's good. I saw the movie in Birmingham with my friend George. He hadn't even seen the first one, but he loved it as well. So
he hadn't seen the first one? Was he very confused?
No, I had to give him like a synopsis. And then he went and watched the first one afterwards.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm excited to jump in, man.
Me too. Me too. Yeah. So... This is the part in the episode where I ask you to give me your first impressions of the film. So,
are you reading off a script?
We have like a between two ferns energy today. He keeps having to adjust his microphone because he keeps bumping it with his nose.
You're not wrong.
You know what happens when a Callahan walks into a wall with a full erection?
His nose hits first.
He breaks his nose. Sorry, that was a twist on a Paul Rudd joke. We don't have to keep that in if you don't want to.
I don't care. That's funny. Oh, man. This movie floored me, man. It floored me. I loved every second of it. It's funny. There's movies where like movies that I can like really love, and I'll still be kind of aware that I'm watching a movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's not even like a derogatory statement. Some films that like I'm not even in it, and that's not a good thing. Some movies I can be in it, and still be kind of like aware, you know. And then some movies I like forget where I am.
Okay.
And this was one of those where I kept like almost like I was coming to from like being unconscious.
And you were having visions?
And I was like, spies, it's the spies.
The spies.
But I would like realize, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm watching Dune. Just because it was so immersive. And, you know, I did see it. I did see it in IMAX in Birmingham with the sound, everything, you know, the whole thing. I think, unless it was IMAX, could have been, but it was huge, huge screen. It was the big ratio too. So and man, golly, I just don't even know how they did it. I don't even.
Well, they flew in a bunch of sand.
I get. Well, I'm true. I just mean it was like, I was so compelled, and it was such a beautiful film to watch,
mm-hmm.
but also complex, but not confusing. Which I think is crucial, because in this kind of lore, it can be like, what? He's the what now? The Kwisatz, what is it? You know, there's a lot of different terminology.
Kwisatz Haderach?
No, I know that.
Give a dog a bone.
It's making a joke.
This Atreides is all alone.
What?
I said Kwisatz Haderach, give a dog a bone. This Atreides is all alone.
Oh, that's interesting.
If I just start like randomly, like you're in the middle of like, I'll do it. I'll just do it. I'm gonna wait until you're giving like a really like
deep, like in depth analysis. I loved it. I thought the performances were amazing. Were amazing. You know, it deviates some from the book, and I think it makes some really interesting choices.
So you've read the book?
No, but I know about it. I want to read the book. I had the book. I should have just put it right here for
it's
some
dense.
Mark. Dent. So Trey gave it to me.
Okay.
And he was like, if you want to be a reader, you got to read Dune.
Yeah.
And he
yeah.
was like, it took me forever to finish this book.
Yeah.
And Trey is a reader.
Feels like a textbook at times.
Yeah.
Kind of like Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. So it's, yes. Very, very astute observation. But I loved it. I thought it, I'm excited for the third. I find it so fascinating and so exciting and refreshing that while this is an IP, right, and is, you know, it's been made before, there's a limited series on TV,
mm-hmm.
and then the infamous 84 Dune, which is amazing. If you
we loved it, we
if you
loved
love it. Those kind of movies, it's a fever dream. But it's funny that Dune was like this cult book. This, you know, it was big, but it was never Star Wars. It was not. I mean, maybe it was. I wasn't alive. It's been 60 years since it was written, but it predates all those things and like inspired Star Wars, inspired a bunch of things. And growing up, to me, I kind of had heard the name Dune, but didn't. It was never, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? I didn't know who Paul Atreides was, right? And then it's made in 2021 with the reboot. And then in this one, and it's massive and it's so revered. You know what I mean? But it still feels so relevant. I thought that's just such a cool thing.
Yeah.
I loved it. We got Christopher Walken back, man. Like Florence Pugh, Austin Butler. I'm curious to see what you thought of him.
He's a good villain.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was phenomenal. I did.
While I don't think that Dune had the wide acclaim as like it's not going to get me as much as it's going to get you as you know other IPs from the past like leading up to these movies being made, it definitely had a cult following for a while.
So for
like
sure.
Have you heard of the Tremors movies, or have you seen Tremors? That's like a spin-off, like not a spin-off, but like a satire of Dune.
Oh, interesting.
Like, 'cause Tremors is about like worms and sand and stuff, right? And there was a song by Fatboy Slim, Weapons of Choice. Have you heard this? And one of the lines in the song is, if you walk without rhythm, you won't attract a worm. Or, yeah. And the music video has Christopher Walken doing the sand walk.
When did this come out?
Long time ago.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I can't. You didn't know this? Weapons of Choice. Song. Fatboy Slim came out in April of 2001. And the music video had Christopher Walken. Let me do Christopher.
That's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. You can look it up. We don't have to watch it. Anyways, so it has had a cult following, and it's renowned as one of the best, if not the best, like science fiction book series ever.
Yeah,
written,
I mean,
right?
it birthed the genre. Not literally. That's probably. If we were a famous podcast, which we are, that would get taken out of context, and I'd probably get canceled. But it like redefined the like space opera.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why are you smirking?
Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. I was reading a bad review and it's really funny.
Okay, good.
It's Austin Butler themed. I absolutely adored this from start to finish. I thought it was phenomenal.
Ooh.
It was kind of funny because you get that, which is like setting the stage.
And then you get like the
production. Then you get Warner Brothers.
Yeah, I know. I thought that was interesting too.
You know what I mean? Like it would have made more sense if it was Warner Brothers and then the...
In the first one, does that happen too? Or is that after Warner Brothers?
I think it's after Warner Brothers. Because it didn't stick out to me in the first one. It stuck out to me in this one for sure. Anyways, it kept my attention, and it's not a short movie.
No, it's like 2:45?
Yeah, 2:45. It did not feel 2:45. It kind of did because it was a lot. Like, it was really, like...
It's a lot to take in.
Really densely packed, but I didn't look at my watch a single time. In fact, at the end, I was like, are we going for it? Are we still going? Because there were a couple points where I felt like the movie could have ended, mm-hmm. and then we kept going. Yeah. You know what I mean? So... Anyways, I thought all the performances were phenomenal. I'm going to say something, and this might be recency bias. We can revisit this later. But I think as far as books that have been adapted to films, this is like the closest anything to me, for me personally, has ever come to like Lord of the Rings quality.
Wow, okay.
And those are my favorite films, so that's like really high praise. This is just so well done. It's not 100% accurate to the book. He can't fit everything in. You have to make artistic choices to make it like palatable on screen, if you will.
Yeah.
But it's a really good story, and the changes that were made, like I think, make sense. And blah blah blah.
Yeah, because there's some things that we'll talk. Because there's some big things that changed.
Yeah.
Which we can talk about.
Yeah, some things that were in the 1986?
84. That one's like. At least I think attempted to be like a 1-to-1.
Yeah, it tried for sure.
But yeah, there's stuff that I want to talk about because there's theories that I've heard that are really interesting too about this.
So anyways, lights out, knocked it out of the park, grand slam, Shohei Ohtani MVP film. What?
You picked a Dodger?
Because Lord of the Rings is the MVP in our division.
Do you know he's in our division?
Shit. He's not in our division. He's in our conference, right? Or our league.
League. He's in our league.
He's not in our division.
You know ESPN just released the top 100 players in MLB? Do you know who's number one?
Ronald Acuna Jr.
Ronald Acuna Jr.
That's Lord of the Rings.
Matt Olson is number 12.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's like...
Freddie's number 5.
Freddie is like... Freddie's like that comforting, like really good. He's like Forrest Gump or something. Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Consistent.
Consistent, like.
Love him. Gotta love him.
Gotta love him, you know.
But he's getting kind of old.
Getting kind of old. Dated.
But he's keeping.
In some ways.
We love you, Freddie.
And then you've got like Mookie, who's like Venom.
I think he's better than Venom.
Okay. Okay, you're right. He's
he also just got rebooted because now he's a second baseman.
True. So what's been Spider-Man?
He's like, so you were close. You're in the same family.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
And then we've got like, who's the worst player in the league? Who's like comically bad?
I don't know.
Charlie Culberson is Morbius.
Is he still pitching for us?
Mm-hmm. I think he's still in camp. I don't think he's been sent down or anything. Let me see.
Well, hurry up because you have to do a movie in a minute.
Okay.
I'm saying you saw him wearing.
Let's see here. That's really stinky.
You have to let me put that on the internet, please.
They're gonna think it was.
You have to let me post that. You have to.
I didn't react at all, so sure. They're gonna think it was you.
I hope I can like crank. I'm gonna go into Logic and like crank the gain on that part.
Put in like a heat just map. So it's like just like edit in a heat map. Oh goodness.
Oh. Gosh.
You have the skills to do that, right? Just make it look like a
sure
heat vision. I can't tell if
you
Charlie's
have to movie in a minute.
Down.
We'll figure it out later.
Okay. Movie in a minute. This is Dune Part 2.
Do you need a timer?
Movie in a minute.
Movie in a minute.
I need a timer.
We're gonna have movie in
that
a minute.
That needed to come out. I'm sorry.
Like the spice. The spice.
I've been having like cramps and stuff.
Movie.
I feel better. You know how it's hot? I just cooled down, you know? Like
you just had to fart.
Temperature regulation, like a bunch of stuff. I feel lighter.
I need to calm down because if I fell out too hard, I'm going to fart.
Fart. Let
no,
it out.
I don't want to fart. I don't Why have not? To fart.
Why not? Why don't you have to fart? So you just, it just happens when you laugh? It's like you don't have to. It just like, your body's like, ooh, let's poot.
Okay, here we go. This is Dune. Actually, you do this part. I'll hit the hot start.
Okay. This is Dune Part 2. I'm going to have to fart again.
Please do it during this.
It's like 45 seconds in. Okay. Dune Part 2. Movie in a minute in 3, 2, 1, go. We've got Princess Urlan, who's like doing note things in the background. We've got Paul Atreides and Lady Jessica, and they're in the desert doing stuff. They're learning the ways of the desert. She drinks the water of life and becomes the Reverend Mother. He rides a worm and like goes out in the desert, and his girlfriend like works with him and is like, this is how you sand walk and all this kind of stuff. He learns a bunch of stuff. Then he says, I can't go south because if I do, bad things are going to happen. And everyone's like, no, dude, go south. Come on, dude, let's go south. So he's like, fine. And he goes south, and what happens? All the things that he thought was going to happen. Maybe not. We don't see it because it's probably going to be in Dune Messiah or whatever. Anyways, so he becomes Lisan Al-Gaib, and everyone's, like, following him. They get nukes. They go fuck up the capital, the Harkonnen place. The Emperor's there. He fights Elvis, beats him, even though he gets stabbed. And Elvis is like, it means everything to us. And then he becomes the Emperor and goes to war with the other great houses. That's a minute.
Amazing. Come on, dude. Let's go south. Great job for not farting.
I held it in.
Okay, shall we?
Yeah.
Shall we?
Yep.
Shall we?
Do you understand everything or do you have questions?
I think I understand everything.
Okay.
Like what?
Well, I don't know. Because when we did the original Dune movie, you had a shit ton of questions. Remember?
I assume you answered them, so I'm caught up.
Okay.
But I don't remember having questions. I think I'm good. I think I actually am good.
Let's start at the beginning.
Yeah, I think I'm good.
So we've got Irulan.
Power over spice. It means power over all.
Yeah.
That's what the thing says.
Right. Power over spice is power over all. We got Irulan. She is a...
Florence Pugh.
Yes, portrayed by Florence Pugh. She is a Bene Gesserit, as you know.
Yes.
Do you know who the Bene Gesserit are?
I do know who the Bene Gesserit are.
Do you know what they do, what their power play is?
They influence men, don't they?
I mean...
But they're trying to converge bloodlines to create the Kwisatz Haderach.
Yeah.
How do you say that? Yes. And the Reverend Mother is lady who has the thing on her face.
But there's a bunch of Reverend Mothers. So
and
like,
she is the... Hold on. She is the sister Of somebody? The Baron?
They might be related.
I think so.
But they also, in the book, and I think it's talked about in the movie, it is talked about in the movie, they do it. I don't know if you know that she is, the Reverend Mother is Lady Jessica's mom.
Yes, I knew that. And that's why I thought, and well, yeah, because that's she's the daughter of the Baron too, so.
Correct.
There you go.
So they had sex.
That's Paul's grandmother.
Correct.
Yes. I do know who they are, yes. And then Leah Sadu is the one who seduces Fade. She's mm-hmm. also a Bene Gesserit. Lady Jessica is one, was one, now is the Reverend Mother of Arrakis and the Fremen.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah, and they essentially are the ones who like are kind of pulling the strings of everything, right?
Right. So they don't just
she advised I don't actually know his name, but the Emperor.
The Reverend Mother, like the big one.
The top Reverend Mother influenced the Emperor to put the Harkonnens in power
mm-hmm.
and wipe out the House of Atreides.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because the House of Atreides relied too much on heart, and you can't govern with heart.
They were too liked mm-hmm. and too popular. Rest in peace, Oscar Isaac's character. I almost said Oscar Isaac, but he's alive and well. Yeah, so I know who they are. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And the Emperor.
That he kept his cadence in this movie.
He tried to hide it at some point.
It wasn't quite as prominent, but I heard it a little bit.
Yeah, like, at the very beginning, it was
daughter, this war, Arrakis.
What would you do in this case?
The Harkonnens and the spies.
The spies.
For the record, I love that he's in this film. I love that he's back. He's an absolute legend.
Me too.
Just carry on. Sorry.
Christopher Walken's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's great. Anyway, so
we're on Arrakis.
Yeah.
And the Fremen are attacked by, or not attacked, but like the Harkonnens are like out on patrol. Mm-hmm. Like, do you see any? That's like the radio.
I got it. Did you like what did you think of when they floated up? Like how, like that scene where they like floated up the mountain?
I don't understand it, but it was cool, you know?
I mean, yeah, it's just like technology.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Technology.
Yeah. Yes, so we see them, they're hiding.
Mm-hmm.
This is like right after, this is the first film ends, this one starts. Or has there been any sort of time passage?
Let's talk about time passage, because
how much time does pass?
From the beginning of the first movie until the end of this movie, it's like about a year, maybe less than a year.
Okay.
Which is different than the book, in which about 3 years pass. So he's like way down south on the other side of like the bad storms with the Fremen for like years, learning their ways before like the conflict happens.
Yes, and that is also an important distinction, because in the book, mm-hmm. I don't want to, I guess, jump to this immediately, but I guess we can.
We can jump all over the place.
But in the book, his sister is born.
Right.
And
so
is old enough.
This is how. Yeah.
Yeah.
Continue, please.
Well, yeah, but like she's not like a baby. She's a toddler, essentially.
Remember in the 1984 iteration of the Dune movie, we see like a toddler, Aaliyah, I think her name is, mm-hmm. and she is like super knowledgeable, but it's really weird, right? So that's not the only weird aspect of the books that Denis has left out. There's also, we don't see any navigators. Do you remember who the navigators are?
Oh, yeah.
Remember the like tub of like tentacle things?
Yeah.
And those are like beings that have like taken so much spice that they've like evolved beyond humanity, kind of thing.
Oh my gosh!
You remember the navigators?
Forgot about the navigators.
Yeah.
They also cut out the Mentats mm-hmm. in this one, which he actually made a comment, because there's a guy I don't know his name, but he was in the first movie. He's the older guy, black guy, white. He has he's a phenomenal actor.
Right.
And he said that like, cutting him from this movie was like extremely painful. But that's another aspect that's not in this film.
Right.
But oh yeah, dude, I totally forgot about the Navigators? That's so strange. Yeah. I wonder if we'll see any of Messiah.
Well, so that's the question, right? And we're jumping like way ahead now. But the question that a lot of people have is, if he has left the weirdest parts of the books out, how is he going to do Messiah? Because Messiah gets kind of weird too.
Yeah, I've never read Messiah.
Do me a favor and Google Leto Atreides the second. So like Roman numeral two, and look at images. Yeah. I don't know if he's in Messiah. I haven't read Messiah, but he definitely comes in the picture fairly, you know, long after.
Isn't Leto... Oh my gosh, is that the dude... Is that the guy who played... Yeah, it is.
What?
What's this guy's name? James McAvoy played him in the limited series.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's a worm.
Yeah.
Is he the son of Paul?
Yes.
Because in the book, his son Leto gets killed.
Yeah, so he has a son named Leto
with the second Johnny,
who dies. Then he has a pair of twins, and he names one something, and he names the other one Leto the second again. So there's two kids named Leto the second. This is the one that doesn't die as a child.
And this happens in Messiah.
I don't know. I don't. I actually don't know.
I have heard that. I have heard that the books go just absolutely bonkers. Like after Messiah, it's like starting in Messiah, they go just completely nuts. What are you doing?
So it's, I don't know how this works. I'm sure if we read the books, we would find out. But he doesn't become a worm until 3,500 years after the events of Children of Dune.
Excuse me? That's crazy.
So
that's it. Let me ask you this. Were you prior to... Dune 2021,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, I was aware of all the weird shit.
But like, you're not like a Dune purist.
Oh no.
Okay, because I'm wondering if there's people who are like, this is not really Dune.
Maybe 4% of the population, because if you look at like Letterboxd, 96% of people like it.
Well, I guess it's just you have to realize, like, to your point. That you said earlier, this, like, you have to kind of recognize what can and, like, cannot work on screen.
Yeah. But at the same time, we have the Baron Harkonnen, who is, like, floating with a ball that breathes for him or something.
Yeah.
You know?
But see, that's just weird enough and, like, grotesque enough to be like, what the hell?
And he takes baths and, like...
Motor sludge. Oil or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So anyways.
But anyway, yeah, so there's some major changes from the book.
Mm-hmm,
Which we can, you know, we can kind of talk about later. But yeah, so we kind of see him navigating life with the Fremen and trying to get into their good graces. And he really only has like one cheerleader at the beginning, and that's Stilgar. I think really shines in this movie.
Stilgar, man, he was... Paul could have done anything.
He was committed.
Paul could have,
Lisa Nagaib,
left the camp and, like, pooped in a hole, even though you're supposed to poop in your suit so that it can recycle the water.
He would be like,
and
Lisa.
And he'd be like, this is proof.
Lisa Nagaib.
Yeah.
You know what's fascinating? This movie, so to me, the big... There's politics, there's... colonialism, there's
okay,
even like capitalism, all this kind of stuff, but the biggest, I guess, most obvious theme of this is the dangers and power, and I'm not like invalidating it or anybody's beliefs or whatever, but the potential danger and power and influence of like a messianic figure.
Sure.
You know, to me at least it was, and it was the fabled, you know, Lisa Nagaib or the Kwisatz Haderach. And the how that can be used to manipulate. And I think it's interesting because you have like all these different parties who are like, one is like, it's him. He's the prophecy come true.
Yeah.
You know, then there's some who are like, I don't believe in this at all.
Right.
And then there's some who are like, I don't really care, but we can use this.
Yeah.
To achieve our goals. And then there's even some, sorry, like Stilgar, in my opinion, whom I do like, who are like, I'm going to make this true.
Sure. And then you also have, remember back in the first movie, the Reverend Mother, when she puts his hand in the box and the Gamjabar at his neck.
Gamjabar, yeah.
At that point, she knew basically that he was, he had the potential to be the Kwisatz Haderach, but it wasn't time yet, right? Like, it was supposed to happen, like, a generation in the future. So Lady Jessica, I don't know if you know this.
She broke the rules, right?
Right. She wasn't supposed to, because they can, like, manipulate their bodies. Mm-hmm. And so she could just, like, make a child a boy or a girl.
Which is the same reason they can survive the Water of Life. And
correct.
Why, I didn't realize this, but when Paul gets stabbed at the end,
yeah,
it's a poison blade.
Yeah.
And the reason because he's been trained to.
Right, right. He's been trained to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But she was supposed to have a girl, and she didn't. She had a boy. Mm-hmm. And so that might play into why they wanted to wipe out House Atreides, like, all at once. Because, one, they didn't like him because they were too, like, lovey-dovey. But, two, you know, Lady Jessica kind of, like, went against the Reverend Mother.
Yeah, and they can get back on track with Fade.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, anyways. But then again, Fade gives Leah Seydoux, which I can't remember that Bene Gesserit's name, yeah, so we're going to call her Leah. Or I am until you tell me what it is.
Lady Margot Finring.
Okay, Lady Margot. She's having a girl, because she says, like, a girl just like you requested or whatever in the movie. What were we talking about? What was that? How did I get there?
Well, I was talking about the different views on the prophecy and the messianic figure and...
Yeah, so there's also people that recognize him as potentially this messiah, but just, like, wanting to kill it. Kind of like a kill baby Hitler kind of situation, you know? And then what's interesting to me is that I think Paul recognizes what's going on. I mean, he obviously recognizes what's going on, that, like, the reason that the people on Arrakis, the Fremen, see him as this figure is because the Bene Gesserit have been instilling these beliefs in that population for, like, generations, right? This is just, like, they built the religion. But when he...
That's fascinating. Sorry, we'll come back to that.
Yeah, we can come back to that. But at the same time, we can talk about it right now. At the same time, when he drinks the Water of Life, he starts having these visions, and, like, he kind of becomes the thing that they say he's going to be. So it's not just like a power play. It's like kind of real, right?
Well, it's interesting because there's definitely, you know, the effects of the Water of Life. You know, Lady Jessica, they talk with Aaliyah, who's a fetus. You know?
And the only reason they're able to, well, I guess Lady Jessica communicate with her from the get-go. But the reason he's able to communicate with her is because she's also taken the Water of Life.
Yes.
So she's basically a Reverend Mother before birth.
Yeah, prematurely, like, opens her eyes and stuff. And we get the surprise cameo from Anya Taylor-Joy as older adult Aaliyah on the, like, water-filled Arrakis later.
Yeah.
But no, I was saying that's so fascinating because just the concept of being, like, you know, it's such a mind trip where... To be Paul, you know, like, I was trying to explain this to George because he hadn't seen it. And I was like, there's this prophecy of he's going to be this chosen one and, like, this messiah figure.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't really believe it or, like, want to play into it. And then things start happening. And then you kind of think maybe he believes it. And it's this question of, is he leaning into it to achieve his goal and get revenge? Or is it like, hold on a second, maybe I actually... am this, or is it both, you know?
Well, he definitely has the motivation at the beginning of this movie and in the book for a long time of, I want to, like, he sincerely, genuinely wants to free the Fremen, and like bring them to salvation.
Yeah.
Right. But then Gurney comes in the picture and he's like, no, man, use this for.
Yeah.
And think about in the first movie, his father is telling him, like, the main thing that he teaches him before he dies is like, you know, this is ours, this planet is ours, but the only way we can keep it is by befriending them, you know, the Fremen. We need the Fremen on our side. And so it's that interplay as well. And I think once he takes the water of life and sees all the different possibilities, he's Atreides again, right? He puts the ring on at the end and like holds it up and says, I'm the emperor and all that kind of stuff. Sorry, I just jumped right to the fucking end.
No, it's fine. But I, you know, like this is, we're skipping a ton because we do, but this is all the story. Like I love seeing it, you know, he joins the Fremen. I want to come back to his name that he chooses and like the mystery and the mystique
Watermouse
around
it. Or whatever it is.
Muad'Dib. But we see him ride the worm and we see him, you know, he's like, they're taking out spice harvesters and like all these things that are happening. And it things seems like it just things just keep going well and well and well and well. But then there's little aspects that are kind of just being not forced because they happen, but like knowingly put into play. Like Stilgar is like, they say that the mother of Lysa Naga'ig is Eve is going to be Reverend Mother, so I want you to become a Reverend Mother.
Yeah.
But for him, he's like, prophecy. But it's like, you
did it.
You did it, you know? Which, I guess the question is like, does that invalidate it?
Well, I think the question more so like, they were both given a test at the same time. They come into the, like, underground place, and they're like, he can't stay. Let the desert decide his fate. So remember, they sent him out.
Mm-hmm.
He probably would have died if...
Chani
hadn't come
Which
out
is
to
funny
like, teach him the ways.
She doesn't see him as Lysa Naga'ig.
Well, but that wasn't her motivation. Her motivation was just
no, I know
he's a good warrior.
It's just kind of ironic to me. That, you know.
But then Lady Jessica was given a test because if you're not capable of being the Reverend Mother, the water of life would just kill you. Yeah,
that's true. That's true. So I guess Stilgar maybe put that emotion, but he had no way of really knowing if like. She would survive it.
Well, she would. He told her, you know, if you're not our Reverend Mother, we have no reason to keep you. So we'll just return your water to the. So they were just going to kill her anyways. So it's literally
true.
Either take this.
Oh yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true. That's true. That's true. Because they brought him back, and everyone's like, "You're a douche. You killed Jamis. We don't want you here."
Right.
That's why I didn't realize that there's a whole subplot in the book, I guess, where like it's. He has to take care of Jamis's family. Is that actually in the book?
He like marries.
Yeah, it's like assumes his place.
Yeah, yeah.
It's interesting. Probably best that wasn't in there because it's kind of weird. But
he
it's
does. He does like call on the spirit of Jamis to
he
like.
Does, yeah.
Lead him,
and he says,
and
like,
he says, go
to,
south.
You have to see or whatever. You have to go see. And I was trying to explain to George. I was like, it wasn't like he was like, oh, you're some horrible guy. I'm gonna kill you. It's like it was like a ritual. It was like a tradition. It was like
right.
You
just
know.
Like the not just like but similar to when he's at the like circle, I can't remember what the like meeting is called, but that like huge circle underground and Stilgar is like, you have to kill me and take my place, and he's like,
he's very willing,
bitch, I'm in charge, I'm not gonna do that.
Yeah, he's willing. He's like, now's the time, I'm weak, I'm hurt, this is your chance. It's interesting, but what I want to circle back to is this fascinating idea of like, you know, to be in Paul's shoes and to like know, okay, these people are expecting this Messiah because they've been told for so long that he's coming.
Yeah.
It's a wild concept to me to be able to be like, I can trace back to the beginning of this religion in like my lifetime or like my family's lifetime or whatever. And it's just a weird, it's like, and I promise I'm not trying to invalidate anybody's beliefs, but like I think of like Scientology or whatever, where that's like, or there's certain books like I think it's like the Book of Mormon, something like that, where it's like the sacred texts are like 100 years old or less.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And it's like you can trace it back to like one person.
Yeah.
And it's grown. It's just an interesting concept.
But these
I'm not saying that they're
these are
good,
way,
bad, or wrong, whatever, but
way older.
So this is like thousands of years, probably.
I would think. But keep in mind that...
This is what, year 10,000 something?
Yeah. Keep in mind that the Reverend Mother, when she takes the water of life and survives, gets all the memories of all the Reverend Mothers before. So they're probably connected to the Bene Gesserit who instilled the religion there.
Yeah.
But yeah, they also see, like, the plan at that point. What's funny
is that, that's interesting, is that there's enough, like, mysticism, mystical stuff that happens that it's like, well, this is crazy. This is legit, you know? Like, it'd be wild to be in Paul's shoes and be like, this is all bullshit, but then be having visions.
That's what I was saying.
And then be like,
right, exactly.
You are so-and-so and so-and-so.
On the one hand, he recognizes that this is all, like, you know, subtle political manipulation yeah, on the part of this, like, organization of, like, shadow government women who can control their bodies. Anyway, you get what I'm saying. And on the other hand, he's, like, having these visions, and he's seeing things, and then they are truly coming, you know, they're coming true, or they're a possible, it almost felt like a, Doctor Strange thing at one point.
He's saying, because there's actually, he says
there's,
like,
a bunch of different possibilities, and I see one path.
He's like, I see a narrow way through.
Mm-hmm.
But there's interesting things, and this is kind of a theory. I know we're already at 50 minutes. Holy crap.
Yeah.
This
is a dense one. We might go over, we're going to go over.
Yeah.
We haven't even talked about Austin Butler, and I know Hunter wants to ask me about that. Yes. So,
anyway, there's theories, right? So there's theories that, like, this is just one possibility. And, like, what gets wild is that they're saying that Dune, the book, and Dune, these movies coexist in a multiverse.
Shut the fuck up. Well, no, I'm sorry.
So it's not saying like they're gonna.
There's no Dune multiverse.
I'm not saying that it's gonna converge, but saying like they're purposely deviating. They're purposely deviating, and it's based in the text.
This is comic book. Hold on a second. This is comic book brain rot.
Apparently, I could be wrong. I haven't read the book. Apparently, there's some sort of scene or whatever in the book where he talks about a vision, where he kills the Baron and says, "Hello, grandfather."
Okay. Great.
But that doesn't happen in the book.
Right.
That happens in the movie.
In the book, his sister kills him and says some line about the Gom Jabbar.
Yeah.
But then when he kills him, he says, "You die like an animal," which that's the test. That's the Gom Jabbar test, right? Is like, if you keep your hand in there and you can withstand the pain, you're not an animal.
Yeah.
You're above that. So it was, but I think that's just like an homage to the book. I don't think that's a fucking multiverse.
Okay, but
bullshit.
I just think it's interesting because there's other things. Hold on, was like, there's that scene.
Next, we're gonna get Infinity Stones in the desert and shit. Like, come on.
Thanos is gonna show up. No, but there's like one frame or sequence of Paul fighting, right, where his like mask opens up, or whatever. That it's like in a vision, and in this one, it's the same pose, frame, everything, but it's Johnny.
Great.
So I just think it's interesting, awesome. But I'm saying,
I don't buy this at all.
I'm not saying that there's some multiverse.
You also see Chani at the top of the sand dune, and then she gets like blown up by a nuke.
What I'm saying
that doesn't happen
is,
in the book or
what I'm saying. What I'm saying with the post thing, the grandmother thing, that was an actual theory, not mine, but I read it. It was interesting. But with the Chani thing is that I don't think we know, because he's following his mother in one of them. Right.
Sure.
And, you know, I think it's interesting to see that I don't think he actually knows what's happening. It's like versions of it are happening. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I think that's interesting. I don't think there's a multiverse.
But he sees a path through. So he sees which way to go.
Now he does. So we got to see what that is, I guess, in Messiah, which I guess is the Holy War.
Which it looks like is going to happen, because Denis said that he would make a third movie if this one was successful, and we've already passed like $400 million.
Last I've heard, he is writing Messiah. Yeah. But he has said, like, I don't like talking about it when I'm writing it, so shut up.
Yeah.
And in so many words was like, you're gonna have to be patient, because
which
is fine. This was what, 3 years?
Yeah.
Actually, kind of like four, because this was supposed to come out in 2020, and it got postponed.
Dune was?
Yeah, Dune part one.
Okay.
And then even this got postponed because of the writer's strike. But
yeah.
I just think that's interesting. I love...
I don't want to hear any more multiverse theories. That's a stupid way to put it. Yes, we can talk about the similarities or like the differences. Like, oh, in the book they did this, but in the movie they did this. But the second you say, I saw this YouTube video. With
it actually wasn't a YouTube video. It was somewhere in some form. I don't know.
I saw this blog post, and the picture on Google, when you go to click on it, is some dude going...
the thumbnail?
Yeah, the thumbnail was like... Doom, crazy
theory. I just think it's an interesting way to...
some multiverse bullshit.
It's
like,
an interesting
on.
Way to... To like be like, I have creative freedom to do what I want with the Messiah.
If he starts doing some goofy run and then ends up in like a little like power orb and sees like all the other Pauls from all the other franchises, I will.
But you know, the Reverend Mothers have the knowledge of all the past.
Right. But Reverend not Mothers, the but past ones from different universes.
That's true.
So just get
for
out
the
of
record,
here.
I don't think this is a multiverse.
Can you leave the room?
I don't think it's a multiverse.
Okay.
That would ruin everything.
Yeah.
Speaking of Timothy Chalamet, multiverse, well, actually, that can be for news. I can talk about that.
What's he doing?
I can go and tell you because it actually will segue into my next thing for you.
Okay.
He says that he wants to have a musical cinematic universe.
A musical?
He's playing Bob Dylan.
Okay.
And he wants Austin Butler to show up as Elvis. And then, like, other actors who have, like, the guy who played Elton John, and then, like, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Well, Freddie's... Sorry, but Freddie dies.
No, but I'm saying if it takes place in the 70s,
okay,
he could show up, you know. It's I true. Thought that was, I was like.
But that'd be before the movie.
I was like, oh my kind God. Of. Well, no, I know. It'd be like a prequel for that movie. I think it's a stupid idea.
I think it's
I was like, please God, no, don't do that. Speaking of Elvis,
which Priscilla would you have? Would you have the Priscilla from Elvis or would you have the Priscilla from Priscilla?
Well, if you have Austin Butler's Elvis, you have to have the Priscilla from Elvis.
Okay.
Because the Priscilla from Priscilla's in a multiverse.
What?
The new Priscilla, where Jacob Elordi is playing
a part of
Elvis,
this Dune.
Is part of this multiverse.
Fucking A. Okay. All right. Is there an Earth in this universe?
Which, by the way, this is part of the Batman universe.
Is there an Earth in this universe?
So I actually saw a thing that said that, like, yes... but like however many thousands of years prior to,
okay,
basically like Terminator happened, and they had like a
this is in the Terminator universe,
saying like they went to war with like AI machines. That's why they don't have computers; they have Mentats and stuff. And
but the Harkonnens definitely had computers. They had like radar systems and stuff.
Yeah, they had something, but it was like illegal. They said it's illegal to make a machine that's smarter than a human. I don't actually know. This is what I was reading. Anyway, speaking of...
If you made it smart enough, couldn't it just act dumb in front of, like, the testers?
Wow.
So it'd be like, I am the Blade smartest Runner. Machine ever. And then, like, someone comes and tests it, and they're like, what's 4 + 4? And it's like, blue. You know what I mean?
Stupid-ass machine.
Yeah.
Elvis, I want to hear your thoughts on Fade and Austin Butler.
I thought...
Because his first line, I thought, did he sound like Elvis? I thought he did for a second.
I didn't want to think that. I thought it, but I was like, this is just me hating on Austin Butler. So I threw it to the side. It's possible that he did sound like Elvis in the first line. But then he gets this like...
Yeah.
Crunchy, gremlin voice. You know what I mean? And
I kind of wonder if they did that on purpose.
Well, that's what I was texting you about earlier today. It was like, Denis was like, listen, you got to do this because we don't want that. You know what I mean?
No, I'm saying I wonder if they did both of those things on purpose. I'm like, hey, your first line, just be Elvis for a second.
Oh, okay.
And just freak everybody out and be like, oh, shit, he's only going to be Elvis from now on. But I thought he was great. He was
a really good villain.
Freaky.
He was pretty freaky when he
Callous.
Licked knives and just like slit girls' throats and stuff.
He kissed his uncle.
Well, his uncle his kissed uncle. Him first.
Yeah, but then he was like, come back here.
He was like, you didn't, I didn't give you any tongue. Come back.
Which I heard that was actually improvised.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like in that first scene, he just like for fun, just like kills that girl.
Yep.
What do you think of the aesthetic of Harkonnen's homeworld? Because it was shot in black and white. It was like the black sun or whatever.
Yeah, it gave me like, so it was black and white, but like, it gave me, what's the Sith homeworld?
Mustafar?
Yeah, it gave me those vibes a little bit, even though
but
it wasn't
like black
like,
and white.
Like dark forests and shit and like lightning everywhere, but it gave me.
Okay. You mean from Rise of Skywalker? Mustafar is, I think Mustafar is Darth Vader's homeworld.
Well, I didn't ask what. No, I thought Darth Vader's homeworld was Tatooine.
Well, yes, but Mustafar is like where his
Moriband.
Mustafar is where Vader's castle is, but no, in the actual place in Rise of Skywalker where he fights the people in the forest, that's what is it, like Exegol or whatever?
I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
Sith lightning planet. Exegol. Yeah,
Exegol,
yeah.
Exegol, okay.
Yeah. Dark, barren, rocky planet.
That's a bad movie.
Well, Exegol existed before that movie. I don't even know what movie you're talking about.
Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I have seen that.
We saw it together. I thought Fae was great. And I really loved the weird little fireworks. They're like ink blots.
Those were interesting.
Wild.
Those were interesting. Cool. What did you think about... Why do you think they didn't drug that one House Atreides guy?
You know what's interesting is that I actually...
You think it was a gift to him, or do you think it was a mistake and then he was just like, don't
do
anything?
No, I think it was a test. I think he was trying to like test him. But apparently in the book, that actually has a subplot with the Atreides Mentat.
Okay.
He's trying to like secretly like assassinate.
Oh, okay.
I think, but they just put it in there as like, it's the uncle this time, the Baron. But I thought that was interesting because wasn't he like hurt and like, he'd been like held captive or whatever. And so I don't think it was like, I took it as kind of a test, but not really a test. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I did take it as like the Baron being like, let's see if you're actually for real.
Can I ask you a question? Sorry, this is kind of unrelated. In the first movie, was Glossu Rabban, that's
Batista?
Yeah, Batista. Was he Na Baron in the first movie? Like, did they refer to him as Na Baron?
Oh, I don't know, actually.
Because Fade is Na Baron in this one. And that's the, like, heir apparent, right? So that's, like, whoever's going to succeed, you know, Vladimir.
Yeah.
And it was just interesting, because Rabban is older, so you would think but he just fucks it up on Arrakis.
Yeah, he had quite a downturn.
Yeah.
I thought he was good in the role, but I thought it was interesting how he just sucked at his job.
Well, because he was all brute force and he didn't have any like cunning. Like you can't just like brute force rule a planet. You need to like at least have some strategy, and he was just like, "I'll go." And then he gets there and he's like, "Shit, this is..."
Yeah, you know what's interesting is that I really loved, and we can come back to Fade and stuff in a second, but I loved the scene, you know, where like Rabban, he's like, I'll go find them, you know, whatever. Is this after they destroyed the Fremen's like home? I can't remember.
No, because that's Fade comes in.
So he goes in and like he's out there in the desert, and I love the mystique, the legend that Muad'Dib has become. Because they don't know it's Paul. I loved that. I was like, right, they don't know it's Paul. It's just this thing called Muad'Dib. Rabban's terrified. Like that fear, I thought was a really, really good scene. It was a really, really well done and performed by all parties. And I got to tell you, you know, it can get a little cliche, but those shots of Paul with the hood up and the like silhouette of him, and the only time you see his face when like lightning flashes or whatever, I thought that was really, really cool.
Cloak blowing in the wind.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like, sorry, Hollis is asleep.
He's probably asleep. There were some scenes where I was like, this looks like it's like from Assassin's Creed or something like that.
Mm-hmm. 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 So Paul becomes a Fedaken.
Yes.
I don't know if I pronounced that right.
Falls in love with Chani.
Can I say something?
Mm-hmm.
Her name's Chani. Throughout the entire movie, it sounded like Timothy was saying Johnny.
Johnny.
One thing that's interesting.
Becomes a Fedaken.
In the book, there's no like, there's no dichotomy between the Fremen who live like closer to like the Harkonnen settlements and the southern,
like the south and north.
Yeah, like those southern fundamentalists. It's not like a thing in the book. It's interesting that he brought that in, you know.
Yeah, I think it's just I would take it. I took it as more commentary and just like, That felt more like the manipulation, like knowing your audience.
Okay.
You know, like
his he that was him being a Bene Gesserit?
Well, yeah, but like Lady Jessica was like, we have to get the fundamentalist.
Okay.
And then we'll have hold.
What she says is we need to start with the weak ones.
Yeah, that's true.
Isn't that what she says when she's down there? Does. And she's like she thinking
the,
loudly?
The vulnerable ones, the weak ones.
She's like thinking out loud.
She thinks like Ed Sheeran. Loud.
Except her legs do work like they used to before.
Congratulations.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
She's in her little pod riding on the worm.
What? Oh, yeah.
She's like, yeah.
She's riding that worm. Through the dust and the...
I saw a video. It's a video of a guy called Heavy Spoilers, and he was like, grab your popcorn buckets and ride that worm.
Yep.
Anyway, let's talk about the end.
Okay.
I know there's so much that we can't unpack, but cinematically, visually, this movie is damn near perfect. So we can get that out of the way. Technically, it's perfect. Hans Zimmer, you know, the sound is incredible.
Yeah.
But the Emperor comes to Arrakis in his giant ball. And at this point, what's happened? So they have the atomics, they have the nukes, thanks to Gurney. He's back with his little guitar thing. And Fade has secured the bloodline with Margot Fenring. And the Emperor is coming down to essentially try and stop this war, play peacemaker, even though it's kind of his fault. With the hopes of that not getting out, right? Like that they could secure the throne. And Paul is fully stepped into his Lisa Nagaib role with that scene in the circle, you know, they're all like the council's there. He like reads somebody's mind or whatever, and he's like, I know this place, the Fremen name, Dune. And I was like, he said the title.
They've got nukes now.
Yeah, so the Baron's like, sir, you know, Emperor, we're here to, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And then they just fuck shit up. They blow up the place. They ride it on the worms. Dope scene. But the coffee didn't work, did it?
No. Coffee doesn't work on me. You know this.
Yeah, me neither. Probably because he's drinking at 1 a.m. at Waffle House. Anyway, Paul makes a play for the throne. And breaks Johnny's heart.
Yeah.
Asks for the hand of the Emperor's daughter.
That's another difference between the book and the movie, is that in the book, even though she doesn't really believe in the prophecy, she still supports Paul and Lady Jessica in their like power play throughout and like stands by their side. And in the book, she does not, or in the movie, she does not.
She's like, nah, fam. She's
like, I'm out. But then it looks like she, the second that he says, like, I'm going to marry Irulan, she looks like she's thinking, damn, I messed up.
Yeah, like she's hurt.
Yeah, she's hurt.
I love the framing, you know, when they all kind of kneel and they're both left standing opposite each other, facing. I was like, ooh. Anyway, it feels like that is more, that's not a romantic gesture, obviously. Because he even says, like, I'll always love you as long as I live.
Yeah, yeah.
But she's like, maybe he's full of shit because, you know, he's doing all this stuff. But what'd you think of the fight with Fade?
It's a good fight. It's a good fight. I think if he is the Messiah and if he has, like, all these abilities and he can see the future and stuff, it's kind of odd that he wouldn't have just, like, quickly cut his throat, like, Fade's throat and ended it. Because, like, it's like... no one's defeated him, you know, and he blah, 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 blah. It feels like once he's drink the god juice, he's no longer the flawed human hero anymore. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he can see the future.
Once he's, like, resurrected.
Right. He's all this stuff is going on. He can see everything. And he's like, at the end of Lucy.
You know? Oh, my God. That movie is insane. But, yes. And he's unlocked all of his brain.
He's unlocked all of his brain. So, I do... The fight was really good. But, to me, it seems like he should have just been like, I know which way you're going to swipe. And I'm just going to go... Just like that.
But that's,
or maybe
the thing,
he knew,
like,
that the only path forward was to let Fade stab him and think that he had won, and then that would allow him to get the dagger in, and, you know, maybe that was the only strategy that would work.
Because it's a narrow path.
Because he's got the...
But do you think it's literally, like... That's what I was trying to say with what I was saying earlier before I made you so mad about the multiverse comment. But I'm saying, like, do you think... I don't think it's... I'm not... It's not my theory, is what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, like, what do you think he's seeing? Do you think it's, like, I know the future, or is it, like...
Well, he does know the future. He knows all the possible futures. That's different than a multiverse.
No, I know, but do you see that as, like, as literal? Like, do you... Or is it, like, he just has a vision that's... Oh, hold on a second. I answered my own question, because after he wakes up from his death, he does actually say, like, it's all clear now. Because beforehand, he's like, it's not clear.
He's seen the past, he's seen the future, and he knows the path forward.
Okay, you have a point.
But that's interesting, because the Reverend Mother, like, not Jessica, but the other Reverend Mother.
The Reverend Mother.
Correct. Like, Queen Bitch.
Queen Bitch.
She can also allegedly see the future and see a path, but obviously they don't connect, right? So... It's like he is the variable that she didn't take into account. So she can see a bunch of possible futures, but she wasn't looking at the ones in which this happened with him. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, you know. It's straight up in there. Into the one path.
The one path. I'm excited for Doom Messiah.
I am too. I have a quick question for you.
Please.
At the end of Dune... Just Dune.
Just Dune.
We got a fight between Gurney and Raban, right?
Yeah.
And Gurney, it was like a really good fight.
I think Gurney lost.
Gurney lost. And in this one...
He just makes quick work of him.
Really quick work.
Yeah, I loved it. That was great.
Do you think that, like, why was Raban so... Was he just, like, scared shitless and couldn't fight, or...
I don't know. I liked it because it was like, hell yeah. But then I was like, in context, it's like, did he just forget how to fight? Did he, like, forget what he was doing? Because he sucks at everything now.
Yeah.
I do get that. Because, like, even when he's retreating...
Mm-hmm. Retreating. Up into the ship.
Yes.
Retreating.
He's, like... He's full on running away.
Yeah.
Like in that one, which I thought
they're in the throne room. He runs out.
Yeah, but like the girl, I thought it was Johnny actually, who like jumps on him, like follows him.
I don't think it is, because that girl didn't live.
Yeah, it's not. But like he's not really fighting. He's just like scrambling.
Yeah.
And I was like, this dude doesn't know what he's doing anymore. So I get that. That's quite a drastic drop off from being like this feared warrior, being like, mm-hmm. you don't know what you're doing, dude. But I did appreciate, like, he was like, this is for my friends and my family, and you did.
I have another question for you.
Okay.
Now that the old emperor has, like, knelt and kissed his ring, and Paul has agreed to, like, let him live, is he, like, a political prisoner at this point, or is he, like, an advisor to the throne?
Is he just, like, a lame duck? I don't know. Like,
you know what I mean? Because obviously the great houses are going to try to... kill Paul and reinstill the emperor, or maybe one of them will become the emperor or something, right? But like Paul said, I'll let you live, but obviously he's not just gonna like let him go with the great houses.
I don't know, because since his daughter will be the empress or whatever, I guess, I don't know.
Yeah, she will be.
Yeah, he's not nobody,
right?
You know, I don't know. I guess we'll find out. Is he gonna be back?
The Emperor? I would think so.
Christopher Walken?
I would think so.
How old is he now? Very?
You say February?
I said very.
Oh. I was about to say that's a month.
Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken is 80.
80, okay. He's got a good 20 years left.
I hope so.
Yeah, me too. Then, you know, it ends with him saying, lead them to paradise. And still cars. Hype.
Do you know he did a screen test for, or he auditioned for Han Solo? Like in the original?
I think I've seen that clip. Isn't it a joke?
No,
there's somebody who's doing an impression of him as Han Solo, isn't it?
Okay, maybe. But he actually auditioned for Han Solo. And his partner in the audition, who was playing Princess Leia, was Jodie Foster.
What a world that could have been.
What a world that could have been.
I love you. I know. Were you just
Greedo! Come on, Greedo.
Just use the force. I can't do it. Sometimes
I can't do a Christopher Walken.
I'm spot on, and sometimes I'm just like really bad at it.
I've never been spot on. Yeah. I just sound like some sort of like high pitched voice Italian, like Joe Pesci or something. I don't know. I don't even sound like Joe Pesci.
Well, cool. Anything else?
No.
I have a question to ask you then, because we barely scratched the surface in an hour and 15 minutes.
Oh Lord. Okay.
What? When you say, oh Lord.
You're going to ask me the question. I have to answer it.
Yeah,
it's a heavy, important. Heavy question.
It is a heavy question. Is. That's wrong. But I'm going to start over. Here's the question. You ready for the question? Zach, I have a question for you.
Oh, yes. Yes. I'm ready. Yes.
My question for you is, but is Dune Part 2 good?
It's more than good.
Wow.
It is fantastic. This is going to be, there's no question. This is going to be a best picture nominee in the Oscars. It is going to be a Golden Good finalist. There's no question in my mind because it may not be our genre, but it is incredible.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. The first one was a Best Picture nom, wasn't it?
It was. And I think this was... Can we talk about something real quick? Sorry.
Yeah.
The first one was very, like, pensive and, like, there was a lot of room to think. You know, we talked about, like, the long shots of the you know...
Spies.
The Atreides homeworld and just, like, how beautiful it was and then the desert and this and that. And there was a lot of time to just, like, think. And this one was just, like, filled with action and, like... things happening all the time. There really wasn't that like pensive quality to it.
Yeah, this was the reaction to the action of the first movie in the sense of like the things that took place. This was
first one was world building to me, which I don't think is a bad thing.
Yeah,
because it still stood on its own. Mm-hmm. It was still really good. This one, it's like the plot was like moving forward in a linear way.
Yeah.
I think this movie was far and above better than the first one. Do you agree?
I would have to agree with all that, actually. I would say that Dune Part 2 is exceptional. It will be a Golden Good. This is the first Golden Good of the year, actually.
That we've identified.
Yeah. Well, the ones that I think we had, we'll figure it out, because ones that we just did.
We're not going to do, like, Best Picture. So the Best Picture movies that are in between, like, we didn't do them last year.
Yeah.
They'll never be, it's never possible for them to get a Golden Good.
I don't know, because it feels,
feels like
know.
They should be.
Okay, well
so like Past Lives is going to be a Golden Good nominee, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Poor Things was already in last year; it already won. So,
but yeah, this is the first one that we've recognized, and at least the first film of 2024 that has gotten a Golden Good nominee nomination. This is exceptional, and I think that Dune Part 2 is better than Dune Part 1. I do.
There you have it.
There you have it. It's time for. Every movie sucks.
Every movie sucks. Yes, it sucks.
Somebody hates the movie you love.
All right, I got one.
Okay, you can go first.
Austin Butler turns into his true form, an uncircumcised dick. That's what I was reading earlier. Yeah.
Let's see. Okay, this says what I don't know what this means. This could be a really derogatory term. I don't mean it to be because I don't know what it means.
Should you just not read it if you think it might be a really derogatory term?
I'm going to ask you, and then if it is, well, I'll cut it out. It says, what kind of smooth brain ape? I don't know what that means. Is it bad to have a smooth brain?
It means like an idiot.
I know what I'm saying, but like...
An unevolved idiot.
He's saying you have a smooth brain.
Yeah, like okay. The more grooves you have in your brain, the smarter you are, or like the more developed your brain is. So a smooth brain ape would be like an idiot.
Somebody who's dumb. Okay, it says, what kind of smooth brain ape do you have to be to give this a 4.6? Higher than Dark Knight? Higher than Schindler's List? Has the world collectively lost its motherfucking mind? Dog shit, start to finish.
This one says, Florence Pugh is too hot to be hooking up with Timothée Chalamet.
Half Star says, I've never been more embarrassed by a film. Why?
Here's one that says, when has a white boy been messiah of anything?
It gets a half star because it finally fucking ended. Jeez.
I would rather be forced to eat a plate of cashews than to rewatch this. I guess that person doesn't like cashews. Maybe they're allergic.
This person quoted Star Wars. It says, I hate sand. It's coarse, rough, and it gets everywhere.
I saw something on Twitter that said the only difference between Paul Atreides and Anakin Skywalker is that Anakin hates sand and Paul loves sand. It's the only difference between
So unwatchable, my eyes forced themselves shut and my brain had to go into rim.
You just read two in a row.
I'm sorry.
And that's against the law.
I'm sorry. You get to read two in a row real fast.
I don't know what just happened. 1 out of 10, there's no Wario.
There's no Wario?
Yeah.
All right, you can close this out. Do one more.
It looks like it might be just a lyric from a song. Does this sound like it's a lyric to a song? I show these hoes what a rack is. Now they trying to ride this worm. Doesn't that sound like a rap lyric or something?
Yeah.
Like a rackus? A rack, like a stack of cash? Do you get it?
I get it.
A rack is.
Well done.
A rack is.
Well done. There you have it, folks. That's Dune Part 2. Shall we do news, shindigs?
AI-generated Balenciaga advert. I did 3 in a row. Screw you. Okay.
Here we go. News of the week. Yeah, it's news of the week. Yeah, it is. Let me pull up my thing real fast. The biggest thing that we'll go over real quick in a minute is we're going to do the Oscars for last night, and they are a thing that happened. Here's news, okay? Nick Cage is rumored to return as Ghost Rider for Deadpool 3. Multiverse. Is that like a trigger word for you now?
Just don't bring it into... It's fine if we're talking about comic book movies.
For the record, I don't think Dune is a multiverse.
But if we're talking about Dune, and you're like, oh, I saw this article written by some white boy like us.
Smooth brain ape.
And it was talking about how Dune's a multiverse.
I don't think it is a multiverse.
You brought it to the table.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I don't agree with it. Emily Blunt is reportedly in talks to star alongside The Rock in Benny Safdie's A24 film. First look at Bill Skarsgård as Eric Draven in The Crow. People are not happy about this, but The Crow is being remade with Bill Skarsgård. Mm-hmm. Dakota Johnson says audiences are smart and executives think they're dumb, in referring to Madam Web, which we're doing in a couple weeks. I'm very excited. A new trailer for David Dasmalchian's Late Night with the Devil, which looks fascinating.
Are we going to do Argo?
I don't know. I heard it was terrible.
I heard it was terrible too.
The Community film is set to begin filming this month. They're doing it around Donald Glover's schedule. Anne Hathaway and Nicholas Galitzine are starring in The Idea of You. They got a trailer. Timothée Chalamet wants a biopic cinematic universe with Austin Butler's Elvis, which I think is a terrible idea. Mm-hmm. We got a new trailer for Fallout. And then a first glimpse of The Leader, who was originally in Incredible Hulk, and he is returning in Captain America 4. And then let's run down some Oscar winners real quick. Okay, ready?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Best sound, Zone of Interest. Best score, Oppenheimer. Best song, Barbie. Best actor, Cillian Murphy. Best director, Christopher Nolan. Best actress, kind of the surprise one of the night, Emma Stone. One for Poor Things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Best cinematography, Oppenheimer. Best editing, Oppenheimer. Best visual effects, first time in the history of the franchise, Godzilla Minus One. First ever Oscar nomination and first win. Best international feature film was The Zone of Interest. Costume design, Poor Things. Production design, Poor Things. Makeup and hairstyle, Poor Things. Adapted screenplay, American Fiction. Original screenplay was Anatomy of Fall. Best animated feature, Boy and the Heron.
Here we go.
Supporting actress, Divine Joy Randolph, The Holdovers. Thought that was awesome. And then best supporting actor, Robert Downey Jr.
That's right, baby.
And then, of course, best picture was Oppenheimer.
Did you see... You watched...
I watched like 80% of the Oscars. I got home after it started.
Did you see how Al Pacino announced the best picture? How many?
I don't know what was happening.
And people were like confused if he actually read the answer or
yeah,
not.
Yeah, I thought he was like drunk.
Not the answer, but the. And then you can hear him
at
one point.
I see Oppenheimer.
I see Oppenheimer here. And then like no one claps. And then the music starts and people start like lightly
like,
clapping.
Oh, wow.
And you can hear him off screen saying, "What happened?" And then it's just like they like cut off his mic or something. Yeah, I don't know.
That was
happened.
Odd. I really loved seeing my childhood favorite guitar player Slash show up. You're Not Just Ken. That was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It was him and Mark Ronson and Wolfgang Van Halen. That was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was. Yeah, I mean, that's the winners. Zach,
there you have it.
Do you have a Braves minute for us?
I do.
I'm going to pour some whiskey.
I have a quick news thing. I don't know if you've mentioned this. Did you know they're making a sequel to Spinal Tap?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I've actually only seen like half of Spinal Tap.
You haven't seen You're a musician, and you haven't seen like the mockumentary of a rock star.
I know the part where he's like, "But these go to 11."
That's such a small part.
And
of...
He's like, "Why not just make 10 louder?" And he's like, "Yeah, but these go to 11."
Yep. Yep. Well, we're not skipping over Braves Minute, so...
No. I'm just getting ready.
Okay.
Did you
It's
want
time
to,
for the
did
Braves.
Did you want to skip it?
Can I read you... I'm not going to read you anything. Spencer Strider has been pitching very well.
Yeah.
He's pitched a bunch of innings, and he hasn't given up any runs.
Amazing.
He added a curveball to his repertoire.
Hell yeah, he needed it.
And so now he's not just a flamethrower. He's a flamethrower with some finesse.
Junk. That's what they call it. Watch out for the junk.
I thought they called it stuff.
Either one.
Junk sounds bad.
He's got good stuff.
Stuff sounds
good. Watch the junk.
Is junk like specific to a curveball?
Watch the junk. Yes.
And that was my Braves minute.
It's very brave of you.
We should actually time it and just like cut me off when I get to a minute.
Do you want to try that now? You want to do it next episode?
No, next episode. It's already It's already been over a minute. So now it's time for Whiskey Shots.
Whiskey Shots.
Tell us about Whiskey Shots.
Whiskey Shots is in honor of my hour. I say hour. Might as well just say hour because I guess they're my cats, but they're our cats. We had two cats, Jack and Whiskey, who each passed over the past couple of years. Whiskey started the podcast with us, and she used to walk around during our recordings. And so we do a shot of whiskey in honor of her and take our time, take this chance to tell people that you matter, and to tell somebody that you love them, tell somebody that you hate that you love them, because life's too short to hate, and that'll really throw them off balance.
That's right.
Be the change you want to see in the world.
You know,
you know what? Just so you know, you're allowed to take up space.
That's true.
Take up space. I'm done. You can go.
You are allowed to take up space. I used to do this, I took a meditation class in my master's program.
Meditating is hard.
Meditating is very fruitful, and it's not hard.
Well, I'm saying, like, so I'll do it
all
sometimes.
All you have to do is breathe.
I'll do it sometimes, like, in the morning.
Yeah.
for like 3 to 5 minutes. Okay. I did 5 minutes and I was like, I got so restless. So it's good for me.
Yeah.
But I'm like,
it's about acceptance. It's about not moving and just accepting the restlessness.
You know what's funny is that I remember actually I was doing like a session. It's 3 minutes, so it wasn't that long, but I remember thinking like, it'll come. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like it'll come.
It's
like,
about
don't try and rush it.
Noting and acknowledging the restlessness and then gently accepting it and then gently bringing your attention back to the breath or whatever you're focusing on. I don't know if you're doing like breath work.
Yeah.
That's what most people do, right? Anyways, I was taking this meditation class and we started out with like basic stuff like the baby meditation that you're trying to do and you're struggling with. I'm kidding.
No, it's I'm not. I never sit still, so it's tough for me.
But we graduated into a bunch of different meditations, and one of them was like a loving kindness meditation where you like imagine yourself and you're sitting and you're focusing on your breath just like you do in like basic, you know, meditation. But when you breathe in, you imagine someone sitting in front of you who's suffering. So like it can be someone you love who has cancer or something, and you breathe in and you like breathe in black smoke from their body. And when you breathe out white smoke that's like healing. And you start out with someone that you love. And then the next day we did like a stranger. So you just imagine like, you know, someone that you saw on the way to class or something, like someone that you have no affiliation to whatsoever, and do it for them. And the third day they were like, pick your worst enemy.
You pick
and
me.
Breathe in. No, but like breathe in black smoke and breathe out. You know what? Here's something funny. I might get some flack for this from people. It was right. It was 2016. And I think I picked Trump. You know what I mean? Because it was like so prevalent at that time. You know what I mean? I don't know. But
God bless you for trying, though.
Hmm?
I said, God bless you for trying.
I tried. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, so yeah.
Do that.
Tell someone you hate, you love them. It's kind of like doing the breathing in the smoke thing.
Cheers.
Don't smoke. It's bad for your lungs.
It is bad for your lungs. Why do we do this? For whiskey. Oh, got shivers.
My nipples got hard. I got a chill. Can you see them?
I can see the outline of the right one. No, the right one. I can see the where your shirt goes like that.
Where can they find us, Hunter?
You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at But Is It Good Podcast. You can find us on X at BIIG Podcast. Email us at BIIGpodcast@gmail.com and ButIsItGoodPodcast@gmail.com. You can find me at Hunter Callahan Music Everywhere. You can find Zach on Instagram with Zach with an H to the number THAFuture.31. And next week, we have a very special episode. We have a guest, independent filmmaker. Wilfred LaSalle is going to be in the podcast talking about Rocky IV, a film that has influenced him in his filmmaking. We'll be talking about that on Instagram and stuff on socials. And so it's very exciting. It's a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun with that one. So, yeah. Finger guns. And then we're doing Madam Web to end the month because we have to.
Then we're going to do Argyle to start out next month.
We have to do the Godzilla Kong. We don't have to, but we've done the rest of them.
True.
Yeah.
Every week, it used to be that every time I drank whiskey, it got easier, but every week it gets a little harder.
Yeah, this is tough. I might just do like a little, just fill the bottom with it. Or I can just start doing apple juice.
Apple juice.
Anyway. Bye.
But Is It Good Podcast? Yeah, 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 yeah.